about the power grid of the country. The congressional report stated, and this is a bipartisan report, stated 90% of all Americans would be dead within a year from the collapse of the infrastructure. I got to meet the head of the commission, Congressman Roscoe Bartlett, and he kind of charged me with doing it. He said, the problem is, it sounds like sci-fi. It sounds like bad Hollywood movies starring John Travolta, like that one that came out about 15 years ago. And try and write a realistic novel of what would happen in a small town if the power went off and never came back on. So I set the story in the little village of Black Mountain, where I live just east of Asheville. And it is about infrastructure collapse, post-EMP, and how people try to survive afterwards. So that's the theme of all three of the books.
Wow.
1 second after, 1 year after, and then Final Day, which wraps up the series, will be out in a couple of months.
Wow,
that's awesome. So, and people don't understand, you know, it's like we often just fear like nuclear bombs, but this would throw us into the Stone Age, you know. I mean, this would be something that we would actually have to live with, and it brings up a lot of questions, you know. And I sometimes think about this, and we would have, what, total chaos, right?
Well, you know, I grew up during the Cold War, and people thinking about nuclear weapons then, it was about city busters. There goes New York, there goes L.A. An opponent no longer needs to do it. A third-rate power like North Korea or Iran, which is 3 to 5 small nukes, detonate these weapons above the United States, the grid is gone. Now, you guys are in L.A., where does your water come from?
Exactly.
It requires pumping.
Yeah.
It requires moving water hundreds of miles. If you can't pump the water, L.A. is out of water in a day or two.
Wow.
Where does L.A. food come from? Your medical supplies, command and control, civil authority. All of these structures break down simultaneously. And the terrifying reality is, and it's not just from me, it's from a lot of experts in the field, 90% of Americans most likely would be dead within a year.
Wow. Is the EMP, like I'm speaking as a pop culture person, in Ocean's 13, I think, or 12, when Don Cheadle does... Is that the one? I'm sorry to relate to that, but that's what most listeners will probably know, right?
My wife gets nervous whenever we go to the movies and it's about history or something, because if they have the wrong thing in there, I go, I'll say out loud in the theater, that's a bunch of crap. An airplane can't do that.
Right.
Well, so I see movies like, what was it, The Ocean's One, or the one with John Travolta. Well, we'll just turn on an EMP for 30 seconds, and things come back on.
Right.
No.
Okay, so not that. But that's what they're saying it is, right? That's that. It's like you don't hear anything. It's just a pulse of electricity that blacks out everything.
Right.
But the electricity doesn't come back on
because
you have fried off all the circuit breakers and the power transmission systems.
Wow.
Yeah. UMP Las Vegas, I think that's what they did in that movie.
Yeah, Don Cheadle, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There ain't going to be no lights in downtown Las Vegas. And beyond that, if you want to be in the desert and 110 degrees and your water supply is gone as well.
Right, yeah. William, I cringe when I think of the author having to go to those places in their head, and it sounds depressing at times, but then you're putting together a story based on that. It's something that I wouldn't even want to think about. What a way to end a life, you know, or to end civilization. And sometimes you go, gee, I wish I was just dead and I didn't have to think about this. But what if we do, you know? I mean, because, we're sometimes close to it with earthquakes.
I think we're close to it at all times. We're so, like you were saying in the beginning, we're close to earthquakes, we're close to tsunamis, we're close to the EMPs that I didn't even have to worry about. Now I have to worry about, take a Xanax and talk to my therapist about.
Yeah.
But I'm saying there's so much I didn't know, and we're always so close to being on the verge of disaster. And that's why I think this election is so scary, because we're one person is in charge of it, and you could go one way or the other, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I urge everybody who's listening, and it's why I love doing interviews with you, people should be prepared to be able to take care of themselves. Start with a week, take it up to a month. It doesn't cost much. Just last night, we watched the movie Contagion.
Oh, God.
You know, the one about
the
spread of a disease.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah. And the scene where Matt Damon's trying to get some supplies and everything's breaking down. And my wife looked at me and goes, this is what's inside your head all the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, Yeah, and you married me anyhow.
Well, that's crazy. Have you always thought like this, even as a kid?
You know, I trace it back to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Sure. I was 11 at the time, and I had a really the guy was a perverted mentality. He was a teacher, and my school looked straight at Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, my God.
And he starts talking about when the bombs start to fall, everything gets vaporized, and then all you kids are going to die. And it was like, scared the hell out of me.
Of course it did. You're 11. I'm scared. I'm 34.
Well, I'm scaring myself now, and I'm 66. You know? But, you know, we live in the most wonderfully complex civilization in the history of humanity. But what I ask people is, you own a $500,000 house. Are you going to skip the $1,500 a year in home insurance or earthquake insurance in L.A.?
I know.
No. That's what we as Americans are doing. We own a multi-trillion dollar infrastructure, but we don't have an insurance policy on it, which means beefing up the structure, having spare parts on hand, be ready to react quickly if we are hit by an EMP.
What's in your storage container, basically? So I can write this down. Like, what do you have? Oh, yeah, I know you probably have a lot. But, like, what are some essentials that you could tell us that would be, like, really smart? I have water and alcohol because that's all I thought I would need. But, like, what is, you know what I mean?
How many proof is the alcohol?
It's like 100 proof. I thought maybe for setting fires or something.
There you go.
I'm thinking something else.
Oh, yeah, me too. Me too. No, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll just say that what's in my basement is classified. But what I would...
Wow. Nice.
Wow.
Here's the priorities I would give to folks. Number one, you can buy a simple water purifier at a camping store or Walmart for $20. Water is number one that you could literally... go out into the street, and if there's water flowing, you can drink it, but you got to purify it first.
Okay.
Number two, next time you're in the market, just start picking up an extra 3 or 4 cans of food.
Mm-hmm.
And just set it, even Spam.
Mm-hmm.
Set it aside.
I've never had Spam.
You don't have to necessarily buy the high price, you know, freeze-dried 30-year shelf life stuff.
Right.
And always, always, if you're on a medication... don't let it get down to just 2 pills in the bottle before you refill it.
Mm, that's smart. You don't think of those things. You don't think of those things.
Wow, amazing. Yeah. Well, once you start
thinking
about it.
Make sure you have those things, and your survivability chance goes up by a factor of 10. If you just have those basics, particularly if there's some social breakdown, you don't have to go out in the street and try and find anything.
Yeah,
you're already safe.
Because it's anarchy in the streets. You don't know what's happening.
Yeah. And what happens to all the anti-gun people? Suddenly they're left without anything. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think people should, I don't know, I guess that's a political thing, but I don't know. I would want to have some kind of weapon with me if something like this happened to protect my family.
I got to throw my pitch in there. My father was a DI in World War II.
Uh-huh.
Anybody who, whether you own a gun or not, I'm not going to advocate one way or the other. Get trained.
Mm-hmm.
Get safety training.
Mm-hmm.
Get safety training. Because the classic thing, what's the type of gun that kills most people? The unloaded gun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not loaded, honey.
Yeah, bang. The mistake.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you're going to get a gun, get well trained.
Amen.
Because there's too many dangerous people out there who are not trained.
I'm picturing a lot of, like, The Walking Dead, like, as a pop culture. Am I right to think that that's what would happen? Like, there's just nothing that runs anymore, and it's basically you have to grow your own food, and is that what you're talking about with an EMP?
Possible long-term, except the other people out there aren't going to have their skin peeling off and looking bad.
Okay.
But, you know, the longer you have a stockpile, not even a stockpile, a reserve supply, the safer you are, but it could take several years from an EMP to get your infrastructure back online, but it might not be EMP. It could very well be a cyber hack of our infrastructure. Could do the same thing.
That's
it could
true.
Take weeks or months.
Wow.
Just
yeah.
Think about a world without electricity,
you know,
and then plan accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, the planes, everything is based on that. Everything.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have, like, traffic
just
jams. You
total
know,
breakdown.
Have, yeah. I can't even think of all the terrible things,
no.
You know. But, yeah, from what I remember in the book, even cars won't function, won't operate, right? And nothing.
You know, the government studies what few are out there. The estimates are that a car built after 1980, I've heard figures as low as 5% will be shorted off in an EMP, upwards of 90%. I was doing a show some months back where somebody said it was going to be 5%. I said, okay, you're in L.A. traffic at 5 in the afternoon, and 5% of the cars turn off. What happens to the other 95%?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They're a complete stop anyway, yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, an amazing series of books. Did you expect to write three of them when you wrote the first one?
Yeah, I got done with the first one 1 second after, and I will frankly admit, it's like, welcome to my nightmare. It was a very depressing experience. But to reference a movie, Godfather, when Michael Corleone goes, every time I try to get out, they pull me back in.
Yeah.
And that turned into book two and then book three. But I promise everyone, book three ends the series. I want to go on. My running joke for years is I want to write a book called Happy Bunny Goes to Town.
There you go. It's the total opposite.
Nobody will buy it.
That's like, it's like rainbows, unicorns, happy little puppies. Like, I don't want to spend my money on that. Yeah, not happening. Not happening.
But yeah, I mean, I can totally see this, you know. I mean, it's like, it is a depressing thought. But at the same time, the story is fascinating. I guess the... John Matheson is the main character there. Can you tell us a couple words about him?
John Matheson, I try to write him very much as the ordinary guy, reluctant hero. Some people claim he's autobiographical, he's me on steroids because he's a history professor. But in reality, I actually based him on a very close friend who was a colonel in World War II who I helped with his autobiography. The book is called Honor Untarnished. A gentle, soft-spoken man who had to at times make some very difficult decisions. And in the book, one of the autobiographical aspects is there's two dogs in the story. Nobody thinks about what happened to our beloved companion.
That's all I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh my God, Josie, Barnaby.
Yes. And few people really think about that. And yeah, the autobiographical aspect, I have a daughter. Thank God she is in good health. But in the novel, John Matheson's daughter, his younger daughter, is a diabetic, which is part of the plot tension, but it's a reality.
Because what are they going to do? Right.
Yeah, I have taught type 1 diabetic kids, one with a pump in them, and yeah, you get close to them. You follow their lives after they graduate, and you start thinking about what happens to type 1 diabetics, what happens to somebody with pancreatic enzyme disorder, or the roughly million-plus people who are in nursing homes, which aren't entirely dependent on electricity. What happens to your grandparents or parents?
Wow.
So those are the autobiographical aspects I wrote into the book.
Amazing. Well, a history professor, I mean, you know, it's like I tip my hat to you because I have a lot of respect for people that get into history because I think history is fascinating. I think everybody should know something about it and definitely read your series. I'm looking forward to the new one. The final day, when is it coming out, William?
It will be out on January 3rd, after the election, when people, I may not have to listen to polls or
thank
the
God.
Blah, blah from either side.
God.
Maybe we can think about something else.
I can
like
shut up. Oh, yes.
End of the world story.
God, this is a good read. But the good thing to say to come out of it is, well, since we're so close to being in disaster, the one good thing is try and stay, what we were saying before, stay present, stay now, stay in love, try and do the goals you've always wanted. We have one life. It can always disappear as we're learning more and more. So do the things you always wanted to do. That's the goal. And get prepared. Grab every day. That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. William, thank you so much for coming on our show again. Always enjoying talking to you. And anybody that likes action, thrillers, dystopic kind of thing, this is the best, you know. And that's what I'm saying, you know. It didn't take for me to first talk to William to find this because it caught my eye when it came out.
Yeah.
One second after, when did that come out? originally, William?
Oh, gosh. That came out March of 2009.
Wow. 2009, you see? So, and I still remember the story. So there you go. And
nice.
I've read a lot since
That's
then.
Really good. Yeah, you yeah. seem to. Yeah, I can't wait to pick it up.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, it was just my kind of novel when I saw it at the store. So I got it. And then we got you to be on the show again for 1 year after. I must admit, I haven't read that one yet. But I'm going to pick that one up and then The Final Day. And for those of you who are just now discovering William Fortune, if you like to binge read, you can have three of them in a row.
Mm,
so there
girl,
you go.
That's
you
right.
know.
And I actually did do a happy book a couple of years ago. It's called Pillar to the Sky. It's about NASA and the building of a space elevator.
Oh, wow.
So I did get a happy book in between some of these... darker stories.
Is the space elevator what I'm picturing?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just an elevator going to space.
It's
okay.
Real.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Whoa.
That's what I thought.
I need to pick that one up.
Yeah, that sounds real trippy.
Your imagination is amazing.
No, but it's going to be real, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea is to actually string a cable from geosynchronous orbit to the equator when anchored in place, the centrifugal force of the Earth's rotation keeps it rigid.
Wow. Wow.
Basically hook cable cars onto it. And right now it costs several thousand dollars a pound to get an object into space. If we use a space elevator, the cost drops to dollars per pound. It will open up space and also green energy in the 21st century because you can use it to pipe back down solar energy from solar panels to space.
Yeah. What I mean, what music are they playing in that space elevator? I want to know what elevator music is playing in that elevator.
Well, maybe they'll play some of your comedy.
Yeah, and they're like, get me off this elevator. That sounds incredible.
Yeah.
You know you're getting older when the elevator music is, wait a minute, that was Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Frank Zappa back in the 70s and 80s. And now it's elevator music?
I know. It's the oldies, man.
That's true, right? Yeah, that's true. Wow.
Well, I hope they play like 2001 soundtrack or something cool.
Yeah, there you go. But well, that probably
I actually wrote in my favorite composer who lives out your way, Constance Denby. I actually wrote her music descriptions of it into that book.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you finally... have you considered what would it take to make movies out of those books?
From your lips to God's ear.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there you go.
Who would play Matheson or John?
Gosh, you know,
I think it's
I've been asked that 100 times, and I'm at a loss on that one, but it is currently in the pipeline again.
Ooh, so well, I'm saying Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks would be a good soft-spoken hero, reluctant hero.
Tom Hanks would have been great. Now, Matheson's in his 40s, but hey, Tom really slimmed down when he did that Survivor movie.
That Castaway, he sure did.
True, right? But there's a lot of young actors, I think, that would do just great in this role. Think of him, you know, like we have Matt Damon and these are just like
there's
the
gentleness, like a soft spoken. I don't know. Tom Hanks I want for every movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. So that came to your mind, into your mind first. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, his range from Saving Private Ryan to so many different films. Yeah, I could see Tom Hanks as a really incredible John Matheson.
Yeah, or his son. Like, you could do a Colin Hanks or something. You know what I mean? Who's in
there
actor.
You go. I mean, because this book is totally at the same level as...
The
you
Dan
know,
Browns.
Like now, yeah, like now just, Inferno's coming
exactly.
out and stuff. So.
Wow.
But, I mean, these books are that good, you know, and if you guys are into this kind of stuff, then you're going to love it, you know. And like I said, the first book is still in my mind 7 years later. So
there you go.
There you go. William Fortune, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You're always very enjoyable to talk to, and maybe we'll talk to you soon again after the book comes out and everything, talk about it a little bit more.
Great. It's a pleasure being with you again.
Of course. I'm looking forward to reading it. And they told me from the PR office that it's not available yet. So I'll wait for January, just like everybody else, and pick it up.
I'll know Jim and see if they can get an advanced copy.
Oh, there you go. Wow. I'll be really
along with 1 year after. Hey, you gotta have a poll somewhere.
It's somewhere. That's right.
Exactly. Tell them I'm still waiting for the 1 year after copy.
Okay. We'll get both of them over.
No, it's okay, man. I mean, I'm just fine paying for my books. I love books.
Yeah, we both
They're amazing, and I love to have physical copies. And it's Yeah, so I really thank you for coming on the show. And again, I'd love to talk to you again after I read the book, the final one, and then we can talk about it some more. So,
it'll be a pleasure.
Okay, congratulations to you.
Congratulations.
William Fortune, everybody. Go out, get the books, get ready for the last one by reading the first two. And I think you'll enjoy it a great deal and get you to think a lot. I mean, these books will really make you think. And although they're fiction, it's totally like grabbed from the headlines, you know. So this
could happen any day.
Yeah. All right, William. But
thank you so much. And let's hope it not happens today because a beautiful day out
exactly.
here.
Exactly. Fingers crossed.
Well, enjoy your view, and we'll get back to our show and continue with other things. But everybody, I want to really stress this, that this man knows how to write a book.
There you go.
I love this. And he didn't pay me to say this either, so there you go. It's an honest opinion.
I'll give you the phone number of my English comp teacher who flunked me.
Yeah,
there
right.
you go. I mean, yeah, okay. just send him a copy of your bank statement.
Yeah, girl.
Out loud. Yeah. All right, William. All the best to you. Bye-bye.
And to you. God bless. Have a good day.
You too. Yeah. Now, isn't that fun? So, you know, many times phone interviews are not, you don't get that deep with the guest as you'd like to. But I think we got a pretty good feel of William himself and what the books are about.
Oh yeah, no, you know? Authors have a way of painting stories, you know, yeah. telling stories. So that I think that sounds fantastic, and I love a good series.
Yeah, you know, and I didn't know it was going to be a series.
Yeah.
It was just one book, and I thought, you know, I looked on the sleeve, and it said, you know, what would happen if this happened?
And like, who isn't interested in that?
Yeah, you know, like I didn't know anything about EMP, mm-hmm. electromagnetic pulse. And what that can do is really shut off everything electronic and electric. And we would be down to really, you know, I mean, we would be reduced to animals.
Yeah,
really.
It's like anarchy.
Really, but big time.
Yeah.
You know, did you ever read any Stephen King books?
Yeah, I'm starting The Gunslinger.
Oh, that's kind of like, yeah.
Old school. It's definitely old school. It's like one of his very first in the novels. But
No, I mean, old school is fine with Stephen King, but that's one of the series that I didn't read because it was not a typical Stephen King book,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm not getting into it.
Yeah, you probably won't.
Okay.
Which ones did you like? Did you like any? I mean, like The Stand. Did you ever read The Stand? That's huge, 1,000 pages.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, but that was a similar story where there was, what was it, a virus. There was an epidemic and most people died. Mm. And
some people.
They were like, some people survived.
Yeah.
They were the good guys, the bad guys.
Yeah.
They had they made a stand in Las Vegas, which was already abandoned and full of thugs and things like that. So it was amazing. The good guys sort of like collected and Colorado and Boulder.
Yeah.
And
it's a lot like The Walking Dead. It's just like The Walking Dead. There's
really?
Little groups of people that band together and take a stand and like own a place. And then the bad guys come. It's like the Wild West and they protect their territory and try and be good and grow food and everything. So it's very The Walking Dead for this generation.
Yeah. That's
very cool.
True. Yeah. I remember the first book, One Second After, when he was talking about the diabetic daughter. Now I remember that there was a whole thing about the insulin and the medication.
I mean, any medication.
Right.
Hospitals are gone. Generators are gone. Yeah, exactly.
Think about it, you know.
You try to save your daughter, yeah.
Exactly. Who do you save?
That's right. Sophie's Choice.
Well, so get the books. I really enjoyed William, and we will have him back on the show. Okay, so let's move on. I guess Bob Dylan wins Nobel Prize for literature.
Yes.
Not for music, but for literature.
And poetry.
Poetry,
writing.
I guess.
He's a fantastic writer. I did a term paper on Bob Dylan and his writing.
Yeah. You see, I never liked his type of music. And since I'm not really a lyrics guy.
I'm a lyric girl.
Yeah.
Big lyric.
So that's why you're into Bob Dylan.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's where his power is in his poetry and lyrics, right?
Absolutely.
The music I could pass, but...
Well, what's funny is I have always loved Bob Dylan, and then I went to see him at the Hollywood Bowl, And yes, it is such a wonderful thing seeing a legend, but in the new
he's doing this.
And I'm like, oh no, oh, there's nothing left. So he, it was really listening to like a strained cat for like a long time. Yeah. His voice is just shot, but his music's fantastic. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you like that kind of stuff, yeah, it's not for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, I could, I could take my music without ever listening to Bob Dylan, but again, being a music lover, I totally respect and think he's a legend too.
Yes, you know? I think he helped speak for Generation, which is obviously
that too.
But I think that's why he holds such an emotional, nostalgic part, because he gave way artistically to a lot of what people were thinking.
That's true.
And I'm like, who does that now? Kanye? Like, who's Bob Dylan?
Right, yeah, who speaks
who's
for
Who's
our
us? Bob Dylan? I'm wondering. No, we got a lot of great musicians speaking up, but yeah, I think he's an amazing representative of a certain time, and done in a way that is poetic, which is very rare.
Right.
Very rare.
I know. So they said he received it for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition.
Yeah. It's the writing of the lyrics that's also doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's a great poet and blah, blah, blah. 75 years old, man.
Yeah.
Still going strong.
He's still doing concerts, and it was, like, really exciting to see him.
Yeah.
But he's a really amazing, amazing human being. He's very weird. I studied him. He went from being a Christian to being a Jew to being a super Christian to being a non-atheist to... He's changed. He constantly changes. His name is even Aaron Zimmerman. I mean, he's not
Bob Dylan. No, he's Jewish. I just didn't realize he was going back and
forth. Yeah, and he's had very many phases of music that go along with that.
Right.
A whole Christian phase. But he always... I think the sweet spot for a lot of people is how he represented America.
Yeah.
Especially that small... Those years in the 68s and that horrible time.
That's true.
Yeah.
Interesting. Nice to have him still around at 75.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Now, conjoined twins. Did you see this one?
No.
They're just talking about him in general. I guess because there's this new famous pair of twins conjoined by the head. But
it's on the head? So is it the head?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the head. At the head. But they're saying that this happens every 200,000 live births, which is, I mean, not that uncommon.
I'm going to have one. That's what I'm so worried about. It's just so hot. It's just like luck of the draw.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they're saying it's an egg that didn't completely split, you know? And the one interesting fact, about 70% of those twins are female.
Interesting.
Very interesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're the same sex. They're identical. So, they came from the same egg, you know. So there you go. So the reason they call them Siamese twins, you know why?
Why?
Because I guess in 1811, there were a pair of twins. They were born in Siam. So that's where they get Siamese twins. And they lived to age 63 and appeared in traveling exhibitions.
No, like circus
stuff. Now, but check this out. Chang and Eng, from Siam, that was their names. And back in 1811, both married and fathered.
How does that happen?
A total of 21 children.
What? Okay. I have question marks all over this right now. First of all, where are they conjoined?
Well, obviously at a point we could still have sex.
Obviously, but can I see, is there any way to find out? We'll find out. Because that is, how do you have...
Yeah, look it up, I guess.
How do you have some privacy on
Siamese
that?
Twins.
How do they have the privacy?
Right, they don't. And they have to get the women, I guess,
that's
prepared for
just
it.
Very confusing to me. But you know what? God bless.
Yeah, people do that.
God bless. Good for them.
Today, of course, they separate
21
them.
Children.
Yeah, right?
God dang.
Wow.
Some sperm up in there.
I
good
know.
For them.
I wonder where they were joined.
What? Maybe joined at the power of love is where they were joined.
But, you know, I mean, I'm seeing a pair of twins here of two girls, and they're conjoined by the, their genitals. I mean, the bottom... part of their body.
The pelvis, probably.
You're seeing legs.
Mm-hmm. It's
so
hard.
And they're both with spread legs.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hard.
Wow, babies.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So you're right. But it is scary. It is Sometimes you don't know.
No, and those surgeries are incredible. I mean, it's like 48-hour surgeries, 72-hour surgeries with two teams of rotating surgeons to separate them. It's an incredible feat for a doctor if they can separate and continue to have no brain damage. It's just an incredible... It's like climbing Everest for a surgeon. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah, it's like, look, in 2006, there was a case where a team of 30 people, including 18 surgeons... from the Mayo Clinic, successful operation to separate two girls, a team of 30 people.
Yeah, they have to rotate them out because it's over 24 hours.
I mean, really?
Oh my God. Wow. And they have two tables set up for when the separation occurs. Yeah. They have to then work on both twins separately.
Twins, exactly.
Yeah, so it's like very intense, highly skilled surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially if they're conjoined by the head.
Anything. Yeah. The brain is always the worst. But the worst thing, actually, I don't know why I know so much about this shit.
Yeah.
But it's blood vessels. Because when you cut in between them, they're connected by blood vessels. And the problem is when you cut a blood vessel, you bleed out.
That's true.
So that's the number one concern is the vascular anatomy. I sound like such a nerd.
No, it sounds great to me. I enjoy learning about
it. Yeah. It's the blood vessels that take so much time. They have to do each one separately. It's like cutting a cord or a wire on a bomb.
Right. Then you have to block each one as
each
you cut
one
them.
And you have to go slow. I mean, it's hard. And then that person, that twin, is under anesthesia for like hours and days. Yeah. I mean, it's terribly dangerous.
Yeah. Well, we just should not talk about this shit. I'm going to faint here in a minute.
All right. We're moving on.
When I talk about hospital stuff.
Let's talk about something good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how good this is, but you know what? The hell with the headlines. Let's there was a couple things I wanted to bring up. Do you have anything there that you want to talk about over there with your New York Times? She loves the New York Times.
I do.
She's connected to New York.
I am.
And she's a leftist.
There you go. No, I mean, it's just the same old Trump stuff.
Yeah, I know,
I think it's
right?
just getting like piled on. So right. I think it's...
What about in the entertainment section? You know what? Someone was telling me that Janet Jackson actually did have a baby and she has a child with another guy from some time ago and she doesn't come clean about it.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, can that be, or is that just like a rumor?
I don't know.
Yeah,
you never know.
It sounds
these
very strange.
Yeah,
though, right?
I think I can never trust
these
rumors.
She hides something like that. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I just brought it up because somebody brought it up, and I thought, well, what if it does come out to turn out to be true?
So yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I guess Kim Kardashian is suing over a robbery
story. Yeah, she definitely was gagged and tied up.
So
a lot of people were saying it wasn't real.
Yeah, and this website that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And she's suing it for millions of
dollars. Yeah, she should, because she's got to put the needle in the hay right now. I mean, the pin in the, what do you call it, the grenade? She's got to stop the flow immediately. You've got to make an example, because that is some bullshit.
Yeah, right.
People are claiming that she did it for insurance.
Yeah.
They just did find, apparently, a necklace of hers. Apparently. See, there's all these rumors, and I'm not going to substantiate them. I think she was actually robbed, and I think it was a terrible thing, and I'm not going to ever... Unless I have evidence otherwise, I'm going to feel bad for that woman.
Yeah, exactly.
So she should sue them. She wants to nip it in the bud. That's it. Nip it in the bud.
Well, maybe it speaks for itself when they're saying that those stories have been taken off the website.
Yeah, because good for her. That's what you know what Tom Cruise does. I know he's a psychopath. I know no one thinks he's weird, but he has always done this. If someone writes something about him, he sues immediately. So you don't see a ton of Tom Cruise breaking stuff, because he will sue.
Right. So people don't want to mess with him.
Exactly. So you start a precedent, and I think she was saying, "Don't even mess with this.
Yeah.
This is I'll sue you."
Yeah.
So I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if that happened to you and someone claimed it didn't happen,
no,
and your brand
true.
Is
I
all
mean,
about
that's
being honest, yes,
libel,
absolutely.
You know? I mean,
she's every
course.
Right to. Yeah. Yeah, now, if she was making it up, screw you. That sucks.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. You know, like you said, until we have the truth, we believe
this. Yes.
What they tell us. You
yes.
know? Yeah. The gullible guy that I am. Sometimes I realize that I'm too gullible for my own good. You know, I trust people too much. And then I regret it later.
Yeah, trust is a tricky issue, because if you don't have trust, then what do you have? You always are worried.
Right, but you have to be careful who you trust.
Very
you know?
True. Very
sometimes
true.
Sometimes maybe you project wanting to trust someone on them, and yet they're not trustworthy.
I have been very lucky and found I've only been like I'm very trustworthy. I will trust you if you walk down the street and wave and I don't know you. I'm like, yeah, friend.
Right.
And I have never really been burned.
Trusting.
Right. Yeah. And I've never been burned, knock on wood. And I think I think the more trust and love I give out, maybe that's why I'm not getting burned. But I mean, maybe I'm just very lucky. But I think it would be so hard to not be trusting, because aren't you always constantly worrying?
Right.
It must be very hard.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, so... It is. You are constantly worrying, and you're suspicious of people all the time. But
that's no fun.
But yeah, exactly.
But you got to protect yourself if you have.
You
it.
Do, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
Otherwise, you pay a big price for trusting someone you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know about that. And then finally, there was a plane crash in Connecticut.
Yeah, they said it was planned.
It was intentional.
Yeah, intentional. What is that?
I don't
about?
Know if it was planned, but it was intentional.
Well, that's
which
I mean, like intentional. It was. They had planned it out.
No, they're saying that there was a fight actually between the student pilot. It was a student pilot and his instructor.
Get out of here.
And they got into a fight, and the pilot, so what happened is the pilot died. He crashed the plane. Okay.
Right.
The plane crashed and burned. The instructor was saved, but he's in critical condition. I don't know how he was able to tell investigators, though, that they had that fight, the altercation, and the student, just crashed the plane.
Oh, my God.
So now they're saying, the official said it appeared the student pilot was frustrated with his family and said he was being forced to become a pilot.
What?
Yeah.
This story smells of tuna fish.
Right?
That's a fishy story. What a
I know.
Weird...
Maybe it was. And you know what? It something here said Jordanian. I don't see where. But they're not saying anything about terror or anything.
No,
like
I
that,
think it's more an internal thing. But that is a weird story. Who forced... Someone forces their kids to be a pilot.
I know.
I would love to be a pilot.
Yeah, well, I was. Yeah.
You were a pilot.
Yeah, and I almost crashed my ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's scary.
So people are doing it on purpose. I mean, people are friggin' crazy. Yeah. You know? What are you going to do? Well, what are you going to do? Okay, the end of the show is right now.
Good setup.
I'd love to go for another couple hours, but you know what? We do have things to do. The show's coming after us. Stay tuned for other shows on the station. You know, we all always bring you the best. I don't lie. I always tell the truth. And I may just pay for it if I continue.
I was like, what are you going to say?
Yeah, what am I? Maybe I shouldn't continue with the truth anymore because it might affect my romantic life.
Yes, I know. But
you
I
know
think maybe just keep a boundary between the radio and your love
but
life.
But I do.
No, and now you will.
Right?
And I think maybe then ease into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Exactly. But please, if you're listening, I'm not a bad person, really, just because I'm on radio.
No, you're.
Like to
I think
talk
that makes
a
you,
lot, but
doesn't that make you like cooler?
I hope so.
This is why I did the radio,
yeah,
just to
I
be cooler.
So. Well, you are definitely cooler.
Is that true?
Yeah. You're one cool person. Everybody that knows you or heard you on the show has had nothing but good things
to
say.
Oh, that's good.
About
you. I pay
so,
them all. No.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, you earned it.
Thank
you. So there you go. You know, you've got yourself an awesome approach to life. You're smart, you're funny, and
trusting. Hopefully that doesn't bite me in the ass. I'm really hope someone doesn't. I've been very lucky though.
Yeah. Oh well. Everybody go out there, have it, make it a great day,
yes.
And we'll see you tomorrow, Friday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.